Last Word on Today FM.
Time now for the last word on TV and streaming. And as Jo O'Shea and Elaine Burke do not watch Love Island, we have a third person joining us this evening on the last word on TV and streaming, Patrick Wilson McCarthy, who's hosting a sold out Love Island finale watch party with fellow Cork broadcaster Fionnuala Jones at Opium in Dublin tonight. Patrick. Right. Now, I have to say, I'm going to spare the blushes of the young woman who in her 20s who said to me, well, you've had your World Cup. This is our World Cup. Suck it up. All right.
Yeah.
But what's your excuse?
Well, from one final to another, Matt, you know, I every year I say I'm not going to get involved in it and I somehow get sucked into it. I don't know what it is about the show that is so entertaining. But
I don't either.
I find it captivating. I think it's there's an element to it that is obviously interesting. There's the social aspect of it. There's the social experiment aspect of it as well. But I think as well, it's just bubblegum for the brain. And when there's a lot going on in the world and you want to switch off, it's kind of like my mindfulness, I won't lie.
Mindfulness?
Small bit, yeah, it can be. It allows me to switch off and I suppose to take a little break from everything else that's going on in my life, you know?
Okay, and do you find the people interesting? Do you find...
I wouldn't say they're very interesting, but I would say it's quite entertaining. And I think, look, like
In what way is this entertaining?
You'd be naive to think for a second that this is just putting loads of people into a space and leaving them off to do their own thing. It's structured reality. And we've seen this time and time again with different reality TV shows. You know, there is a storyline set there. There's producers' interference in there as well. But it does make for quite interesting. And you know what? What I find as well, it's a talking point. Quite like if you take it back, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, when people used to watch live TV, you'd go into work the next morning and people would be having conversations about what happened in Coronation Street or what happened last night on whatever program they're watching. But we don't do that anymore. But because this is on for a relatively short period of time and it's on every night, people are watching it live and it's opening discussion. Like if when I go into work in the morning, people want to talk about it. They want to, you know, speak about the episode last night and the drama that unfolded. So I think there's an element of that as well. I think a lot of people that I know as well feel like they want to watch it because they don't want to be left out of these conversations.
Stay on the line, Patrick, please.
I will.
Jo O'Shea, is this the end of civilization?
No, not at all. I mean, it's a fun show. It's young, and there's no real secret to its success. It's hot young people in bikinis and shorts just, you know, acting out in a beautiful location. I can see why people like the show. I've watched bits of it myself. And, you know, you kind of sit down and you find yourself drifting into kind of the hold of the thing.
Really, Joe? Did you not feel at your age that you were turning into a bit of a pervy old fella if you were watching all these young people cavorting around the place?
Maybe so, yeah. I hadn't actually thought of that, Max.
Had you not?
No, I hadn't. I'm having a bit of a crisis now at the moment, reconsidering my choices I've been making in life. But listen, and it was a lot of fun for Irish viewers as well this year, because you had two Irish people on. Well, Charlie Murphy wasn't on for very long, but Sean Fitzgerald, I mean, he's done pretty well, really well out of it, and did get a good run in the show. So I can see why people tune in. I'd never look down my nose at people who enjoy that kind of stuff. You know, if you're enjoying it, great.
Okay, Elaine.
Let the people have their fun, Matt. You know, like...
Oh, so I'm getting portrayed as the Grinch here now, am I?
The Love Island Grinch. Like, they should send you in one time. It'd be fun aspect of it. But now, like, I have my qualms about it. I think the performance of relationships for the prospect of fame and a prize is really problematic. And I find that really hard of a hurdle to get over myself to watch it. I find it really cringe as well. And I have tried to tune into it before. I have watched numerous clips of Maura Higgins, because she was just dreadfully entertaining when she was on it. But I only watched clips. I couldn't watch a full episode of it myself. But if people are having fun with it, and as long as, you know, it's safe. And I do wonder, are the viewers of this now going to have in 10 years their America's Next Top Model reckoning? Because I would have had fun watching America's Next Top Model and now I'm ashamed of that show and my fandom of it. Mm. So there might be that in the future. But right now they're having fun.
Okay. What about that point, Patrick Wilson McCarthy? I'll go back to you that, you know, what if we do look back in years to come and say that this was basically exploitation of the participants?
I think, to be honest, Matt, that is a good point. But like, if you look at the evolution of the show over time, it has changed drastically in the last 10 years or so. And I suppose the way you would look on series one or two would be completely different to the way that you look on series, you know, whatever series we're on now. I think they definitely do take, you know, the welfare of the castmates as a priority now as well, which I think is obviously really important. And I think that's a great thing that they do that. I think that there's a lot of aftercare as well for these contestants, but also none of them are stupid. None of them are going in there completely naive to what could happen in there. They're all very aware that, look, it can go both ways. It could go good or bad for them. But if it goes good for them and they come out here, at the end of it, they have a very lucrative, for maybe a short period of time, career for them there with different brand deals and stuff as well. So I don't know, like, I mean, you'd be stupid to think that everyone is going in there for love. I think that everyone is going in there for more than that. And I think that's something that you need to remember. You know, obviously there's the love element. That's the whole purpose of the show. But there's also 50 grand at the end of the day that people are paying for. So you're not only watching this to see who's going to fall in love, you're also kind of watching this to see who's playing the game as well, which I think is another element of it that people probably who don't watch it don't realise that it's such a big part of the show as well.
Elaine, though, I saw there was a piece in the Sunday Independent yesterday with Dr. Stephanie O'Keefe, who's the chief executive of CUAN, which is the state's agency tackling domestic, sexual and gender-based violence. And she says, as an older woman, I hate it. And she's also not particularly happy, it would seem, that her daughters aged 18 and 20 are hooked on the show.
Yeah, and she does, I think there's a line then that she says that, particularly for young women watching the show, that they should watch it with some kind of an interrogation mindset of, you know, questioning some of the behaviours that she has observed on the show. Now, I myself am not a fan, so I don't know specifically what behaviour she's speaking to.
Well, she did talk about one stage, and one of the show's challenges, the male and female contestants have to wear heart rate monitors and give each other a lap dance to see who raises whose heart rate the most.
Yeah, apparently this is like a regular challenge. We may need Patrick to weigh in on the how those challenges work and stuff like that. And I don't, you know, in the context of this show, that does seem like the kind of a laugh that they're having and the kind of fun that they're having. I'm not sure what is specifically dangerous in that element there. In the context of that show, and as Patrick said, with the, like, you know, safeguarding that they tried to put in place for it. But there's other stuff in it where, like, people have flagged before behaviours like coercive control emerging in some of the relationships and how that, but that also gets talked about, and things like consent get talked about. And if you're starting those conversations, that's not the worst thing in the world, maybe.
So, Padraig, when you're hosting your sold-out Love Island finale watch party tonight with Fionnuala Jones, are you doing lap dances on stage as part of the...
I'll tell you now, Matt, if that was part of it now, there'd be nobody show up, unfortunately. There'd be no lap dancing at my show tonight anyway, unless it happens on the screen, but I'm going to keep that to the castmates. I won't be going around in any speedos or anything, much to most people's relief, I'd imagine.
Right, so what will you be doing?
So we'll be chatting basically about what we thought of the series. Like the guy you said there, we had an invested interest this year. We knew that Fitzy was going to be going in from the start, and we obviously had this big hype around Charlene Murphy, whether she was going to go in or whether she wasn't going to go in. And I think as a result of having that interest, Ireland kind of seemed to be more involved in this series than they had in the last previous few. So we'll be chatting basically about what we thought about the season, what we thought about the cast members, and we'll be making our predictions about who's going to win or not with a group of like-minded people who obviously enjoyed the show as well and wanted to come out and just probably watch the finale with a couple of other people and see what the crack is.
Okay, enjoy it, Patrick Wilson-McCarthy.
Thank you, Matt, for joining us. Matt, there's a ticket there with your name on it now if you'd like it. You're more than welcome.
I'm going to see The Odyssey tonight. I have booked to go and see The Odyssey. So there you go.
Okay, well,
thanks all the same, but there you
no
go.
No problem.
Okay, Joe O'Shea, actually, I think this is a good time for you maybe to tell us about your pick of the week, because there's some people texting and saying I've been very censorious. And your pick of the week is about censorship.
Yeah, and as you're going to the cinema tonight, this is a show on RT1 tonight after the news, 9:35. It's called In the Opinion of the Censor. And I think this is going to be fascinating social history, because it's the former film censor, John Kelleher, the Irish film censor, looks at 100 years of film censorship in Ireland and how a kind of political, social and cultural evolution of the state worked around that. There's lots of fascinating little nuggets in this. The Graduate was banned on its initial release.
Dustin Hoffman.
The Dustin Hoffman, yeah. So they had to recut it to get it on appeal. And in the recut, Irish audiences had no idea that Mrs. Robinson seduced Dustin Hoffman.
I think it's pretty central to the theme and to the plot, isn't it?
Mrs. Are you trying to seduce me, Mrs. Robinson? So yeah, so that would have been made for a confusing view. A couple of years before, a King Creole with Elvis was banned because of the King's suggestive dancing. So they cut all of the bits out where Elvis's pelvis is moving. On the waterfront, there's a central scene where Marlon Brando, as Terry Molloy, has a drink at a bar with the Irish-American priest Father Barry, played by Carl Malden. An incredible performance. That was cut because the censor said the Irish cinema audience couldn't see a priest having a drink in a bar.
You're kidding.
So there's lots of little nuggets. Yeah.
Exactly. And didn't they also, the Monty Python movies as well, wasn't there one?
Yes.
I don't think The Life of Brian got banned, or did it? But there was another one, The Meaning of Life.
Was. Well, Meaning of Life, yeah, because there was references to the Catholic Church and contraception. They also renamed, Irish censors renamed movies just on a whim almost. There was a movie called I Want a Divorce and was renamed in Ireland The Tragedy of Divorce. So, some of it, so it was a light comedy that suddenly became a tragedy
And in fairness, I think John Kelleher as the censor, he changed it, didn't he? But he said, this is about classification, so people can still go and see, but they are told this is suitable for a certain age and beyond.
Yeah, well, like film censorship, like a lot in Ireland, changed dramatically, you know, in more recent times. So yeah, I mean, and again, that's part of the journey that we've been on, you know, culturally, socially, politically as well. So in the opinion of the censor, RT1 tonight, 9:35, I think fascinating watch.
Okay, I want to go to you before we get to your pick of the week, Elaine. Tell us a little bit about the viewing figures for sport on RT in recent months.
It's been great for them, really. They hit a record with streaming on the RT player for the World Cup final. 1.4 million streamed that, and that's the highest they've ever had in the history of any show on the player. And in terms of watching the World Cup final, they saw a peak of 1.16 million. Now, they didn't quite see that peak last weekend, but they came close. The All-Ireland football final had an average of 944,000 viewers, about an 82% market share. 82% of people watching TV at that moment were watching that final. But at its peak, it saw over a million viewers, 1.1 million viewers. That was at 5:11 p.m., which was about the moment when you were about to see Mayo finally break a 75-year curse on their aspirations for Sam Maguire. So, very exciting moment in television. It's one that many, many people are going to remember for a long time, and certainly 1.1 million people tuned into it. And they still haven't got the totality of the streaming figures for that, but it's about at 566,000 streams so far. So sports doing really well, but they did say in that report that that World Cup final figure is the second highest of 2026. And I don't know what the first highest is, because normally the highest of the year is the toy show, but that wouldn't be in the 2026 figures yet. So I haven't been able to figure out what, or maybe they're anticipating it will be second place by the end of the year, but I think there's something there that I'm missing that was bigger than that World Cup final.
And Joe, I wonder, is it the fact that the World Cup final got more than the All-Ireland finals down to the fact that we have so many new Irish people living in the country, you know, whose sport is football rather than Gaelic football or hurling?
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking that myself. And I think the hurling final was, with respect to both teams, was probably a little underwhelming this year and maybe didn't hold the audience that they might have, or didn't build the audience that they might have. And definitely, you know, there are lots of people in Ireland now that wouldn't necessarily be tuning in to hurling, to hurling and Gaelic football, but would be watching the World Cup. I know on my own, in Cork City, the night of the game, the amount of Spanish people around in Cork City was incredible. We've a huge Spanish population here, huge Brazilian population, Latin American. So you're right. There's a lot of new Irish, shall we say, that are watching it. Also, yesterday, I mean, you know, an amazing day watching watching Mayo win their first All-Ireland in 75 years.
Listen, Joe, sorry, I kind of appreciate the anti-Kerry Cork bias slipping in there, but the problem is we haven't won an All-Ireland in hurling Cork since 2005, or football since 2010, which is becoming an issue for us.
It is becoming a bit of an issue, and maybe next year, Matt. But brilliant coverage. RT, I think, did an amazing job. I watched the game, I watched the Sunday game, I watched all the everything around it, and it was just a magical day of sport and TV, and no wonder they got such huge figures for it.
I've just been told, Elaine, the biggest TV audience of the year, you should know this because you were mad into it.
Was it the Traitors?
No.
Oh my God.
It was Ireland and the Czech Republic in the World Cup playoff.
Of course.
Or Czechia, sorry. Yeah.
Okay. Of course. Okay. How did I not get that?
Yeah, we try to forget that, you see. That's the fact that we didn't get to the World Cup finals.
For my own mental health, I blocked that memory.
What's your pick of the week, Elaine?
Mine is actually pick of next week because we're not going to be here next Monday. It's the bank holiday. So I'm jumping ahead. And on August 5th on Netflix, part two of the series they've made of 100 Years of Solitude is going to be available. Now, not the entirety. The final episodes aren't available till the end of the month. But there's lots to catch up on if you've only started maybe to tune into this. This is an adaptation of Gabriel Garcia Marquez's 422-page novel that's intergenerational and incredibly rich and vibrant. And it's amazing that an adaptation of this was even made because he was dead against it. And he did want, if it was to be made, it would be in Spanish. And this is in Spanish. It was shot in his native Colombia, a really like unknown cast for anyone who's tuning in outside of Latin America. But they have really done justice, I think, to this incredible book. And it's just a wonderful story. It's really enigmatic. If you haven't watched part one, I would watch it. And then maybe from August 5th, you can tune in for part two. It's really glorious and kind of underrated, I think, as a Netflix show.
Okay. Actually, Joe, before we finish, Jerry Kelly, the broadcaster who has died at the age of 77, was a really significant figure north of the border for many years, wasn't he?
He was. I actually went to New York with him once. He did a live show in New York and I went over to cover it. He was a great, great broadcaster. He was very big in the North. He was a very genuine, avuncular type of guy, a former teacher who went into broadcasting kind of in, you know, as a career change. It's awful news. He was diagnosed with cancer in 2018 and he sadly has passed away. So I think a lot of people in the North especially will remember Jerry Kelly as a great, great broadcaster and a big, big feature of their cultural lives.
Thank you very much, Joe Shea, Elaine Burke.
The Last Word on Today FM.